won't do. And Rico Rodriguez in the special.
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Why do jam bands fuel such obsessive fan bases who follow them around, document their set lists, and debate which live version of this song or that song is superior? Cotter Ellis of the rising young jam band Goose has a theory on why their fans are so passionate, and it has to do with the close relationship Goose has with their audience.
The crowd knows that they're going to be in it with the band, finding out what happens and like riding that energy wave with the band.
You'll get to ride that energy wave today with a live performance from Goose and an interview with the whole band about their latest album, Chain Your Dragon, about their fans, and about how they get the jam band thing because they're fans themselves.
You know, when Umphrey's McGee would play at Nokia Theater in Manhattan, the whole high school would go.
It's Goose today. I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. A 15-year-old Brainerd High School student was taken into custody on suspicion of felony threats of violence on Wednesday. The Brainerd Police Department reported it was contacted by a staff member who overheard the boy making threatening comments on the first day of school. The student was transported to a juvenile detention center, and the case has been referred to the Crow Wing County Attorney's Office for possible prosecution. In a news release, the police department says it never identified an immediate threat to the school safety, and there are no continued threats. In the wake of last week's deadly mass shooting at a Minneapolis Catholic school, Brainerd police remind residents to report it immediately if they hear or see something concerning. Minnesota State Auditor Julie Blaha announced Thursday she will not seek re-election. Blaha is the 19th person to serve in the role and has been in office since January 2019. In a news release, the DFLer says it's been an honor to serve as auditor and to accomplish her goals of, quote, rebuilding an office that was under attack and protecting Minnesotans' rights to make decisions in their local communities. When Blaha took office, legislators were attempting to defund and possibly eliminate the office of the state auditor. Its role is to oversee local government financial activity by performing audits and analyzing local government financial statements. It also reviews other data, reports, and complaints related to finances. Blaha will serve through the remainder of her term, ending in January 2027. Emergency responders in two local communities will participate in exercises to ensure readiness for emergency situations. Beginning at 10 a.m. on Friday, firefighters and others will take part in a full-scale event at the DNR tanker base at the Bemidji Airport. The event is not expected to affect traffic on Gillette Drive, but people are asked to be aware and not be alarmed if they see flames, flashing lights, and emergency vehicles in the area. Similarly, an exercise will take place next week on Wednesday at the Pine River Fairgrounds in Cass County between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. That exercise will test training and response actions to a simulated incident involving victims, hazardous materials release, vehicle extrication, and other coordination activities. The Cass County Sheriff's Office is asking travelers to be cautious when traveling through town and to avoid the area if possible that day. Runners from all over will converge in Detroit Lakes this weekend for the 30th annual Dick Beardsley Races. Larissa Donovan has the story.
At 69 years old, Dick Beardsley does not appear to be slowing down. The legendary runner was a top finisher in what is now known as the Duel in the Sun during the 1982 Boston Marathon. Former of Detroit Lakes and now a Bemidji resident, Beardsley has been part of his namesake race since its inception, but he says he gets way too much credit for it.
All I do is show up. I do a little talk, sing a few songs, greet the runners when they come into the finish line. Everybody else does all the work to put it on, and I'm honored that they wanted to name it after me, and then the fact that it's still around.
One of the longtime coordinators for the race was the late Mark Knudsen, who also directed the Fargo Marathon. Knudsen died 2 years ago at the age of 53 as the victim of a bicycle versus vehicle crash in Detroit Lakes. Current race coordinator James Botner says he got involved early on to learn from Knudsen and is now motivated to carry on the legacy.
I volunteered for many years, helped him out as best as I could, both in Fargo and Detroit Lakes. And after his passing, I wanted to do what he did and kind of keep that going locally and do my best. I still have a lot to learn. I wish he was still around for many, many reasons, but that ultimately is why I'm a part of it.
Organizers hope to see 3,000 participants in the Dick Beardsley Half Marathon, 10K, or the 5K that all start at 8 a.m. Saturday from the Detroit Lakes Pavilion. As a carb-heavy favorite for athletes of this sport, the Pavilion will also host a spaghetti feed Friday night that is open to all, with more details on the race at KAXE.org. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories at KAXE.org, where you can also find your guide to Grand Rapids Riverfest weekend and more on the 130th birthday celebration of the iconic Old Central School building in Grand Rapids. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. When I got to the World Cafe studio the day Goose came to play live, there was a huge line snaking down the entire block. Fans who got there hours early, hoping they could get in and get a glimpse of a band who were being hailed as the brightest stars of a new generation of jam bands. It was the day after Goose had released their surprise new album, Chain Your Dragon, their second album they've dropped in 2025, and people were excited. The excitement around Goose has been building steadily since they first broke out just before the pandemic. And today, I talked to Goose guitarist Rick Mitirotunda, bassist Trevor Weeks, keyboardist Peter Anspach, and drummer Cotter Ellis about the wild trip they've been on so far, their musical connection, and their fans. They also reveal which characters they each like to play in Super Smash Brothers. And you'll hear them perform songs live from Chain Your Dragon, starting with Royal. This is Goose, live for the World Cafe.
That you can't take before you give it all away.
Live from World Cafe, that was Goose with Royal. New album is called Chain Your Dragon. I'm Raina Duras, joined today by Goose. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
First of all, since all four of you are here, could you introduce yourselves one by one, say your full name, say what you do in the band so people can tell your voices apart?
Sure. I'm Peter Ansbach. I play keyboards, guitar, and sing.
I am Cotter Ellis. I play the drums.
I'm Rick Materatonda, and I play guitar and sing.
I'm Trevor Weeks, and I play bass.
Right on. Well, welcome. I'm happy to have you here. Usually, we don't interview the full band on the show. We'll have like one representative, but we wanted to have all four of you here because what you do is so interconnected in the band. And I think when you're doing stuff on stage that involves a lot of jamming, you have to be really aware of each other. You have to have an energy or connection or communication going on. Could you describe how that works when you're on stage and you're kind of improvising and how you're communicating with each other?
It's pretty special. You know, we're kind of just reacting and listening as the music progresses. And, you know, it's just a matter of being open to everyone's ideas and trying not to think too much and just reacting and playing something that either supports or, you know, basically interweaves with the other lines and whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of it is everyone's individual personality and the way they play, and they're a kind of accumulated language throughout each of our lives individually, but then a lot of it is language that we've built together, a common language. You know, Trevor and I have been playing together for a long time, and a lot of that, you know, there was a lot of things that we do improvisationally that I think in like the early years we were working on for a long time and trying to figure out how to like get our phrasing linked up so that we could take things in and out and just do different types of things like that. And so like building that language along the way has been really fun and just like a really rewarding and cool process. And Cotter joined the band. It was like an immediate chemistry there. Like it was a lot of the same reference points and a lot of the same, you know, places we were coming from language wise. So there was an immediate big crossover and an immediate like just, you know, personality chemistry connection as well. But, you know, I think the language is just going to continue to grow now because that chemistry is so strong, and it's really exciting to me. Like the runway feels exciting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you and Trevor have been playing together for a long time. Take it back for us a little bit. I know you grew up in Connecticut. What kind of music did you bond over in the beginning?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the where we grew up, like, everyone was listening to jam bands. Like it was kind of, it was the thing, which is I've come to learn is not normal really. Like all of the, you know, when Umphrey's McGee would play at Nokia Theater in Manhattan, the entire, like the whole high school would go. Our high school was actually flagged at Nokia Theater because it's like, there was somebody like, you know, girls too drunk getting out of there in ambulances kind of thing or something. But, yeah, like people rolling with like Wilton High School merch or like, you know, hoodies or sweatshirts or jackets, and they'd be like told they can't come in. But so, sorry, the point was that everyone was listening to jam bands, and like I thought that was normal. It was just kind of the world we were in. When I was in high school, like Phish wasn't playing, so that we weren't going to those shows, but it was, you know, Umphrey's McGee and STS9 and all those bands that were playing.
I grew up listening to like metal and then electronic music and stuff like that, which I think is kind of a different path than this guy.
Yeah. And then Peter, you joined as the keyboardist, even though you didn't really play keyboard right at the beginning.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I was on tour with my other band and we were basically crossing paths with Goose. We opened for Goose one time and we were just hanging out like after the show and kicking it and stuff. And then, you know, like around the same time, you know, the previous keyboard player was leaving Goose and Rick called me and asked me to join and play some keyboards. And I was like, I could try, you know, let's go for it. And I was just, my other band was kind of like coming, we were having trouble. So it was like, I'll play in as many projects as necessary in order to just, you know, keep playing music, which is like what I love to do. And so it was like a natural move because I loved Goose's music at the time as well. And I was just like, oh, I'd love to be in this band.
And then Cotter, you joined the band last year. What's it like? I mean, you guys kind of touched on the connection thing and the language, but what's it like being the newbie?
It's great. You know, it all happened at a great time, obviously. And they kind of like, you know, pulled me out of the like quicksand of the music industry I was in at the time. And yeah, it was especially great because it was immediately apparent that it was going to work. Like, especially the improv stuff, which is where we started. Like, we sat down and just improvised. Our first thing we played together was probably over 30 minutes. And it was just immediately exciting. We barely even spoke to each other before we started playing. And yeah, I think we were all just super deep in it. And we've all played music with a lot of people for a long time. So we knew how special it was in that moment. And, you know, it took me a little while to get used to being in this band and getting the kind of attention that they get. But I would say I'm used to it now, and it's been a great journey, and the fans have been really supportive and awesome. So overall, great.
I'm speaking with Goose on World Cafe today. We're going to go to another live track now. This is one that you released in 2022. Before we hear you perform it, could you tell us about Hunger Sight?
When we were going in to record Drip Field, we had the same deal. Like you kind of, like you said, a bunch of songs that we'd been playing live. The impetus at that point was really to turn as much on its head as we could. It felt like where we were coming from on the previous record, we had kind of exhausted all of our, internal faculties creatively, so that we turned to someone else. Our good friend D. James Goodwin we didn't really know him at that point, but we you know, started a relationship with him and went to him to help us turn everything on its head and push us in directions we weren't used to and, you know, be uncomfortable, which was a really awesome learning experience for us. So we, you know, all the existing stuff that we had been playing, we changed it all a lot. And then I think it was like primarily the first three songs on that record were just new ideas. They were, when we were starting that record, they were kind of like seeds that I had had, and we're just kind of chipping away at. And throughout the process of that record, those got worked on and kind of came together as a little trio of songs.
Right on. Here's Hunger Sight. It's Goose live for the World Cafe.
We'll be right back. taking on. We won't lay that down. Thank you.
Goose performing Hunger Sight, a song from their 2022 album, Dripfield. The lineup outside the World Cafe the day Goose recorded these performances was enormous, and after the break, the band will talk about what it's like having such passionate fans. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, hanging out with Goose, Rick, Trevor, Peter, and Cotter. They've been performing songs from their latest album, Chain Your Dragon. For this performance today, I think it was a first I've heard, at least. We had to have a special security meeting yesterday in case things got too wild, which I don't think we've ever had to do. What is it like having such an intense following, who literally will follow you like deadheads around? Why do you think you've inspired that kind of a fandom?
I mean, I would say in general, at least, the appeal of improv bands of any kind, whether it be a jam band or like a bebop band, is that the crowd knows that they're going to be in it with the band, finding out what happens and like riding that energy wave with the band in that moment, which like having that kind of experience in the moment is even more rare now than it used to be. And I feel like people get, I don't know if I want to say addicted to it, but they just like are enthralled by it. I know because I was like as a kid going to see my favorite jam bands. So I feel like that's a huge appeal. And we play different shows every night. And so they're chasing songs or and they're hanging out. Our fans especially, it's such a great community. It feels like they're all just friends out there. So I think they have a great time in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the vibe is really nice. We actually assembled a little supercut. We had a couple of our interns go out and talk to people in the line.
I just see them in this crazy intimate setting. Like, I didn't think I'd ever get to see them in a place this small.
So. The first time I saw them was January of 23. And I was hooked immediately on the bus.
The new album they dropped this week is spectacular. Really excited to hopefully hear some of that today. So.
Obviously, them being a jam band, I think not too common for people their age to get into that kind of scene. And just being, kind of up and coming in that whole genre is pretty awesome.
I just heard someone else talk about they just sold out Madison Square Garden in no time. So the opportunity to get to see them in a small setting, which is always an amazing setting. And I'll let them decide what we need to hear. So.
Hot Tea was one that I fell in love with, and it was actually after my dad passed away. That one I just kind of hold close to my heart because it got me moving. I adore you guys, so if they hear this.
Okay, so that was a sort of a supercut of Goose fans waiting outside to watch you perform live. What is your relationship like with that community and your fans?
It's super special. We're so lucky. And, it's not every day you have people out there who come to see your music and then you develop personal relationships with them, and there's been a lot of circumstances where that's happened. And then there's a lot of circumstances where people have reached out to us for help and various things along the way and told us their stories. And I think that just makes it all the more meaningful and deepens that bond.
It really grounds it, the whole thing to me, because sometimes it's easy to get lost in it mentally and kind of get to places of like, what are we doing? What's going on here? That stuff. It's like, oh, cool. That's what we're doing. That makes it real. It makes it worth it. It means a lot when those things happen.
Well, and there's a flip side to that, right? It's like when you get bigger really quickly, you're also probably going to hear sort of the negative feedback too from people. Like it just opens you up to a lot of stuff. Like, do you get stuff like, oh, It sounds too polished. Like criticism, like, oh, you've sold out. Like that kind of stuff.
It's pretty, I don't know, universally positive. That's... We really get no hate at all.
Yeah. I've read anything.
Everyone's laughing. Yeah, it's just like, 100% good.
That's amazing.
All the time.
Lucky.
Very lucky.
How do you support each other when the outside noise gets too loud?
Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Who do you play?
Who am I?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
I'm usually like, Samus.
Okay, pretty
He's
good.
A mean Samus.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Now I need to find out who everybody's favorite is.
King Dedede.
Wow.
Yeah, Trevor's like so King Dedede.
Yeah.
I'm Link. Or Young Link or Toon Link.
Mm-hmm. Cotter bops around a good amount.
Yeah.
Lately, Pikachu.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah.
I'm a big Kirby fan. Sometimes kind of cheap, though.
Peter's had his scrap with Kirby as well. He's a little bit better / more annoying with Pikachu.
Totally.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me quickly reintroduce you. I'm talking to Goose today on World Cafe. You are a band, but you're also like a business. Personally, I came to Grateful Dead really like I'm from Canada. Jam bands are not as big there. I came to the Dead later on, and I remember kind of being surprised at how like business savvy the Dead is. Like you think of a jam band as this like groovy, laid back, like whatever man kind of vibe, but they are business people, and they also on the other side of that, and it's very intentional the things that they do. How do you guys think about the business side of Goose?
The organization.
Yes.
We have a great team supporting us and helping us out.
I think you kind of have to just like, you know, as the shows get bigger and there's more production and stuff like that, like there's more and more people involved. And I think just like, yeah, as soon as you get more people, like you have to start thinking about stuff like that and making sure everything's in order. And yeah.
There's part of it that has been really, that's like, that I find fun. Not necessarily like the numbies and the business stuff, but like there was a...
Did you say numbies?
Numbies.
As in like numbers?
As in numbers, yeah,
Love
sorry.
It.
That's there's a lot of terms that get thrown around here. But yeah, I mean like that stuff is kind of, it's part of it. It's necessary, you know? But in terms of like, There's a thing in the GQ article that came out yesterday about the ketchup, thing, and like
the organic ketchup, yeah.
Oh, you caught that?
Yeah.
The point I was trying to get across there was like I think it's cool caring about the energy that you're putting out into the world and the all the periphery of your business or whatever it is part of that. It's part of the world building. Like all of my favorite artists are really good at that. They're like the curating a feeling, and it extends to every part of their thing. And a lot of that is tied into the business, you know? But the business it's not about making money. It's about like creating something that feels cool and immersive or something. That's my favorite thing about my favorite artists are, you know, the immersive quality of their thing. Well, it's the artwork and the merch and it's all the same language and it's, you know, you just feel like you're in their world. So that's, I think, something worth striving for and something worth caring about, in my opinion.
We're going to go to another live track now. And this is from Everything Must Go, the album you put out earlier this year. It's called Give It Time. It's Goose live for the World Cafe.
All of the questions as lie awake at night. Is this really what I wanted? Will I ever be anything but a pretender living inside of a dream? Give it time, go ahead, give it hell, give it all you've got, give it up. Something else, it's a revelation, it's a hallelujah. That's the nature of the spirit running through you. So take it easy, just begin again. Take a step back from the race that you've been running in. That's the next song coming on the radio. Just when you need it, so turn it up and let it go. Let it go. And turn it up and let it go. And turn it up and let it go. Follow the illusion. Fear behind your pride. And come the morning, you'll remember when to run and when to fight. Am I really being honest? Will I ever be free from the expectation living inside a memory? Give it time, go ahead, give it hell. Give it all you've got, give it up for something else. Hallelujah, it's the nature of the spirit on it, will ya? So take it easy, just begin again. Take a step back from the race that you've been running in. It's the next song coming on the radio. It's what we need, so turn it up and let it go.
This is World Cafe. I'm Rena Duris with Goose. That was from their album Everything Must Go that came out earlier this year. The song Give It Time. They were performing live for the World Cafe. You guys have a new, an even newer album now, released yesterday, the day before we recorded this interview. That album is called Chain Your Dragon, and it was a surprise. Why did you want to make it a surprise?
We've kind of wanted to, I love that stuff. We've wanted to do that for a long time. This just felt like the right time, felt appropriate. I mean, a lot of these for our people, a lot of these songs we've been playing for a long time, they've been, you know, they're like, deep in the canon of our journey, our experience. I mean, the making of the record was really, really fun. Some of the, like we started working on some of these, recording some of these songs over the previous years of the Everything Must Go sessions. But you know, earlier this year we just kind of found ourselves in such a place that felt really good and decided to recut almost the whole thing March of this year. So we kind of like very different, contrary to the Everything Must Go process that was drawn out over years, for a lot of reasons. This was, you know, for the most part, knocked out in a month, like really quickly, just us in the room, just going for it. And it was really fun and really liberating and really, like felt really, really good. I think we're all like really proud of how it came out.
Goose is my guest today on the show. It's World Cafe. We're going to hear one more live performance from you. It's the song Maddalena. And I know it was the last song that you wrote for the record. Is that?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about writing it.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of like Royal spawned out of Turbulence in That Race. That song's been around for a long time. And then Maddalena spawned out of, we were writing a bridge for Royal, which we don't usually write bridges in that way. And it was kind of really fun. It's kind of a different thing. For some reason, this doesn't end up happening like that. Usually like a traditional functioning bridge. But we did in that song, and it kind of pulled out this idea of you know, this Royal, this like road weary guy and his, you know, his lost love and his, you know, that, and then it was, the impetus was like, you know, breaking that case file open a little more and exploring what that connection was and what the feelings associated with that are.
Well, we're going to hear Maddalena. This is from Chain Your Dragon. It is live. It is Goose for World Cafe.
Maddalena, I've been looking for place to lay my head down. I'm tired always trying to find a way out. I'm running from this life I know so well. The Amarillo, the running lights and empty eyes in limbo. Dreaming with my face against the window, drifting to the dawn of another day. Falling from above, further from the sun, from the light of day. Stay a little long, stay here by my side. Hold the sky up till the night dissolves. We'll paint the new horizon with our bleeding hearts. Those ghosts really know how to listen anyway. Falling from above, whispering in tongues. If I could find a way,
Madalena, performed live for the World Cafe by Goose. It's from their new album, Chain Your Dragon. Rick, Trevor, Peter, and Cotter of Goose, thank you so much for being here. It was really great having you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Rena Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard my session with Goose. If you want to watch that performance, you can see the whole thing at worldcafe.org and also on the World Cafe YouTube. I know the really big Goose fans have probably already found it and are already comparing notes. Now, a band Goose clearly loves and a band who loves them right back. Trey Anastasio has gone up on stage to play with Goose, also took him out on tour. This is Fish, The Connection.
When I see though I see, I don't stare. Though I see, I don't stare. When I'm lost in my reflection, though I see, I don't stare. Though I see, I don't stare. Then I change my direction. One foot follows. Though I see, I don't stare. Though I see, I don't stare. When I'm lost in my reflection, though I see, I don't stare. Though I see, I don't stare. Then I change my direction. One foot follows the other. One foot follows something new. Cause I need some protection. And I'm scared I could lose it. If I stared, you'll be gone.
That is The Connection from Fish, closing out an hour of jam bands on World Cafe. Thank you to Goose, who were my guests this hour. And thank you to Miguel Perez, World Cafe producer, for his work on that session. Thank you also to World Cafe interns Addison Ryder and Danielle Gaynor for going out and collecting all that audio of the Goose fans who were lined up to see them. Thanks to our affiliates across the country who bring you this show, the public radio stations who make this all possible, including Troy Public Radio in Alabama. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. My name is Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. And by the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, dedicated to improving the learning experience for America's students by sharing what works in pre-K through 12 education at edutopia.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Green Cheese listeners know how important it is to support stations like KAXE KBXE.
Anyone who can, be sure to donate, because as all of us know, we listen to this Green Cheese and all the other programming on the stations. We really, really love it and don't want anything to happen to it. So it's really important to give what you can.
One thing I wanted to do is